Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Today, we hit the dance floor to explore why the nighttime economy is so important to a city's branding, as well as being so vital to social satisfaction. Our dance partner today, who else but Monocle 24's Fernando Augusto Pacheco.
It's hard to say if it's because I'm deprived of a good dance floor at the moment, but since the beginning of the pandemic, I've been daydreaming about one of the first clubs I ever went to, A Louca, in my hometown of São Paulo. From the design point of view, it would be difficult to celebrate it as a masterpiece, but from a pure fun point of view, I thought it was delightful. It was one of those clubs in São Paulo with a wonderful, eclectic crowd, where the young gay kids would mix with everyone, from goths to sex workers. They were all in there. My favorite night was on Sundays. The playlist ranged from Depeche Mode to Spice Girls to Brazilian kids TV presenter Xuxa. The Cavernous Club had the look of a regional haunted house, but with happier music. The floor was black concrete, and there was a space that looked similar to a boxing ring, but rather than punches being thrown, that was the place where drag queens would come to perform their late-night sketches. A Louca was made like a labyrinth, but its enormous interiors meant there was always a cozy corner to be found. It was in one of those corners that I discovered Que Fim Levou Robin by the late Mauro Borges, a Brazilian band I used to love, as well as many other excellent artists. The whole aesthetic of the club was inspired by Alice in the Wonderland, a naughtier version of it, I must add, with no regard for minimalism. From my memory, there were no air conditioners, but only hefty ventilators to help out during those hot summer nights. The club was so important to Paulistas that in the year 2000, former mayor Marta Suplicy included the club on her campaign trail. She was duly elected, of course. But in my dancing daydreams, other clubs have been featuring too. The small and intimate Trash Palace in London Soho, one of the first places I went dancing after moving to London. It too was a narrow, sweaty labyrinth, but the music and the crowd was so incredible. Or for those that need a bit more space to dance, gigantic clubs like the Astoria spring to mind. I mean, even Madonna performed there. More recently, I was taken by a different clubbing experience in Lisbon. I went dancing at a 60s-inspired Austin Powers-esque venue, which looked incredible. And while the average person in the crowd was a good 30 years older than me, they all definitely knew how to dance. The lacquered-haired ladies still have me trying to imitate some of their best moves. I could reminisce endlessly about the fun I've had over the years in clubs all over the world, but all this is to say that I believe clubs play an essential part in a city's branding. I mean, who would want to visit a city without a good dance floor? A city's night economy should never be ignored. It's the reason so many cities are employing the services of a night mayor, to make sure that what happens after dark continues to make the city a better place to be. But even with the global pandemic pulling the plug on DJs and the growing popularity of dating apps signaling the death of dancing for some, I have a feeling that clubs will be eternal. You just can't beat the power of the dance floor.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Fernando Augusto Pacheco for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.